Welcome back to Bag Babies. We last left our friends Dick and Jane at the mercy of George, who is threatening to expose their corporation, having with heart for the sham that it is. Sick of handouts from Dick, Jane, and their wealthy friends, George and his fellow bag babies Brad and Alice are demanding control over their lives, finances, and the company. Will the bag babies succeed in their seizure of having with heart? Will Dick and Jane find a way to thwart George's plans for their downfall? Let's find out.
That bastard's got balls.
The insolent fraud.
He can turn us to dog food.
To dust.
My God.
There's got to be a way to fix it.
You're right. There is. Let's pay to mix it. For a couple of grand, let's have some fun and arrange for a little run.
We could add a bonus for something gory. A little push from the 25th story.
Steady, guys. Not be
anything. No. I want to feed him something tasty. Eggnog laced with chlorine bleach. That ought to make the slime ball screech.
Oh joy, oh rapture too sublime, to feed him pate mixed with lime.
Look, George, steak, wanna taste? The marinade is toxic waste.
What you're suggesting is pretty risky.
Right, but that bugger is goddamn frisky.
But 5 or 6 bullets to the head, that oughta kill the bastard dead.
I may be a loyal, devoted wife, but I've no intention of doing life. We may need a plan that's simple.
Flick.
What?
We call a shrink with tears in our eyes and quivering voices. We say George is nuts. He imagines strange voices. We put on a show. We charm and beguile him. And our problem will vanish into an asylum. Who listens to tales from the straitjacket set?
Call the funny farm for a butterfly net.
You married a genius.
Let's crack some champagne and announce the good news. Our uncle's insane. He's relieved of his duties. He's taking a rest at an upscale clinic. We paid for the best.
If the Institute's profile is trendy, we're ripe to reap huge rewards in free media hype.
And I know just the one for having with heart. My godfather, Elgin's.
What? That billionaire fart? He has a clinic?
You ignoramus. Elgin Marbles. Rehab for the ripped and famous.
Ladies and gentlemen, my fate is in the hands of one man, Elgin Marbles. Robber baron, philanthropist, trendsetter, liquor magnate, and rehab king extraordinaire. Who is this Renaissance billionaire? To introduce this man, the myth, and give me time to finish my smoke before the final scene, we take you live to the ballroom atop the International Marbles Towers, where the Elgin Marbles International Humanitarian Award is about to be presented by none other than our very own Miss Katie Hughes!
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of this year's Elgin Marbles International Humanitarian Award is none other than... Mr. Elgin Marbles! Mr. Elgin Marbles, come on down.
Thank you. Too kind.
Crack. When it comes to drugs, we're so myopic. But you, Mr. Marbles, you're so philanthropic, have a project designed to put the skids to this national menace tempting our kids.
That's right, the Elgin Marbles Haven of Hope, an island I bought in the middle of the ocean. I'm giving junkies a one-way ticket. They're gone, crime's down, and I convert the crack houses to condos.
But how on earth will you get them to go? Why, won't the crackheads just say no?
Free drugs. I just say, welcome. Open the orifice of your choice. Pig out. Go nuts.
But the cost.
What cost? I use the overrun for my Marbles Pharmaceutical Corporation. It's a drug recycling program. Conservation. a watchword of the 90s, and I'll give them hobbies. Yes, sir. I'll get them higher than kites, then put them behind sewing machines. Miles and miles of sewing machines with colorful fabrics. They'll go crazy. Bingo! Designer clothes with the Marbles label. They screw up an item, no prob. I donate it to the Marbles hand-me-downs for the poor. Great tax deduction. Let's hear it for free enterprise.
It's unique to think of a capitalist route for a group polls say most would execute.
And waste manpower? That's the trouble today. Nobody thinks. Look at our prisons. A captive workforce. A license to print money. We gotta privatize our prisons. Make them work.
Are you talking chain gangs?
I'm talking rehab through manual skill jobs. I'll have them contracted to the Marbles Foundation to have them build libraries, galleries, and clinics. The taxpayer saves, society's enriched. I make a mint. And those little buggers will get more exercise than they'll know what to do with.
Mr. Elgin, it takes a bizarre form of bravery to support a plan akin to slavery.
Wake up and smell the coffee, Katie. We keep the third world in economic slavery, and who gives a bucket of warm spit? Nobody. Why? Because we like bargains, that's why. And you can't beat sweatshops for competitive prices. Face reality. Slavery is capitalism with balls.
Did you hear it?
Money. Money.
Money.
Money.
Bravo, Godfather.
What a performance.
They say Katie's ratings last night were enormous, despite a few cries from your on-air removal. You once again captured huge public approval.
Hell, I just toss a few bucks to some cause. They say I'm a lovable eccentric. Maggots. But cut the crap. Why am I here?
Godfather, we called you because we're in deep shit. It's Jane's uncle, George.
He's having a fit.
He's a menace.
A time bomb.
A dangerous threat.
A rabid dog in need of a vet.
We made him a symbol, a corporate whore. Now, out of the blue, he's declared a class war.
How do you face the marketplace if your star is a radical basket case?
So you want him locked up?
Please, quick as you
fast.
Can.
Maybe yes, maybe no. What's in it for me?
Cash.
In addition, should you find it conducive, we'll give you our client list.
Very exclusive.
Don't talk peanuts. Sweeten the pot.
In words of one syllable, George is hot. Times Man of the Year, with whom, for your merriment, will give you carte blanche, if you'd like to experiment.
Have a star for a guinea pig. Be Thomas Edison, and use him to further advances in medicine.
Don't be afraid to prescribe lots of pills, and pump them with drugs.
Lock him away, whatever it takes.
We're willing to pay. We want to finance a thorough rehab.
If lobotomy's extra, we'll pick up the tab.
A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Why not open it up for a wee cut and paste?
This sounds fun. Where is the little bugger?
He's off in the green room finishing his smoke. Sorry about that.
You Uncle George?
At your service.
They say you're wired for squirrels.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. Off in the land of multicolored birds, gaga, lulu, nuts, gonzo, cooked, fried, and pretty darn hostile.
Well, I've been known to party.
Disco party!
Congratulations! You've just won a lifetime membership to Elgin Marbles Rehab!
All rights reserved.
What?
I'm here to lock you up!
Well, that's not in the script.
Oh, yeah? Page 74. Big rewrite.
Hold it, Buster. I demand to speak to the author.
I bought the author!
Stratton, you get your ass down here. I demand a little realism.
Ooh!
No need to be ugly.
But I'm the MC.
And I'm a billionaire philanthropist.
That doesn't mean you can put me away. You need to show I'm a danger to myself or to others.
That's exactly why you haven't a hope.
On Katie's first tape, you swung from a rope.
But you need a committal form.
I happen to have a couple spares with me. Just need to fill in your name.
But you need to be a doctor.
Bullshit. You just need to be able to buy one.
Are you suggesting you can buy professionals?
Are you suggesting I can't? Governments cut back, hospitals still need equipment, and doctors still need research grants. Who pays for them? I do. Me. With my Marbles Foundation and fellowships.
You're talking bribery.
Colors.
Corruption.
Progress. Okay, I get a few perks. My ass gets itchy. I call the Prime Minister for a scratch. Big deal.
You see, George? He's one of us.
Don't flatter yourself. You're selfish. I, on the other hand, am an insanely greedy pig. It pays to think big.
Before you lock me away, a last request from a condemned man?
Grovel, sonny.
A trip to the park to say goodbye to my friends.
Is this a clever attempt to escape?
Oh, no, sir. I could run but never hide. Not from you, sir. You're everywhere.
Damn right I'm everywhere. Well, let's hop to it. I could use a good stroll. En route, we can take a look at my newest skyscrapers. Sexy, gleaming, erect slabs of marble and glass, pulsing neon, thrusting into the sky like Roman candles. Now that's what I call 1,000 points of light. Forgive me, but I have a sudden urge to bay to the moon.
Dick, your godfather Elgin's the absolute most. George has met his match.
The bastard's toast.
Afraid he's reached the final curtain.
We've won, my dear.
That much is certain.
Oh, baby. Baby.
Oh, oh, baby.
Baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
How did you know I needed you? How did you know I needed you so badly? How did you know I'd give my heart gladly?
Expecting someone?
No.
Me neither. Oh, dear Lord. Can't you give us a breather?
Dick! Jane!
What the hell?
Hi! George called with the scoop and said to drop by.
What scoop?
Don't try to kid, Katie. Your little vacation. It calls for an on-air celebration.
Vacation?
You'll try to deny it, your Uncle George said, but your charity work has left you near dead, so you're taking a break. But the biggest surprise is you've put him in charge of your enterprises.
What?
My reaction exactly. I mean, what a shocker. I thought, have these kids gone and flipped their rocker? It's one thing to talk, but another for sure to actually go out and empower the poor. So I grabbed my crew, dashed here in a minute for a snap interview. You want to begin it?
What? Poor uncle. The dear soul finally blew it.
What?
His call. Afraid there's nothing to it.
It's a family secret, but... Oh, what the hell? As you may have suspected, our George, he isn't well. His brain is mush. It's mud.
It's soup.
You mean I've been a hobo's dupe?
What the?
Gotta run, gotta hide. Gotta run, gotta hide.
Police!
Hold it. Things get a little crazy from here on in, folks. Lots of shooting and running around. A little difficult to make out on radio. Hold on to your hats. Officer Kincaid is in hot pursuit of Brad for who knows what reason. Probably because he's homeless, you know how it is. Meanwhile, Alice realizes that instead of her fun fur, she has Elaine's mink coat, which Elaine earlier accused Alice of stealing because, you guessed it, she's poor. Outraged, Alice returns.
Alice?
Where's my mink? Take that, you murderer! You big bully!
Help!
You think I want to go swishing around town with a bunch of corpses hanging off of me? You got another thing coming.
Victorious in retrieving her fun fur, she leaves, only to run into her bag parents on their way back at the behest of George. Another scuffle ensues until they safely make it back into Dick and Jane's. But the chaos is not over. Realizing Brad is in the apartment and Alice is outside, Elaine locks herself in the bathroom. Chivalrous as always, Rick tries to save Officer Kincaid, who is squaring off with Brad in the bedroom. In the confusion of the scuffle, though, Rick is captured by Kincaid. The frenzy looks like it will not end with Katie Hughes catching it all on tape, until Elaine, realizing Brad is in the bathroom, crashes back into the room with Brad, wearing a shower curtain, in hot pursuit. Around and around they go, each person getting wrapped in Brad's shower curtain at some point or another.
I have a few words on our behalf.
Save it, babe. Don't make me laugh. I want to know about this friction. Will it lead to arrest, a trial, conviction? And where on earth did Uncle George go? We're inquiring minds. We want to know.
I'm right here and right on cue. And with none other than Bag Baby's very own billionaire philanthropist, Elgin Marbles. He's here to reveal my future. Naturally, being poor, I have nothing to say in the matter.
Elgin, is George crazy?
Suicidal, depressed, hostile, sociopath.
I might have guessed.
He thinks people hate him.
So he's paranoid, too?
Are you kidding? He's right. Of course they do. I mean, don't you? I know I hate him.
Then you concur with Dick and Jane that the bottom line is he's insane.
Insane? He lives in the streets. He's beaten by punks, eats garbage, sleeps in the metro. And you ask me if he's insane? Read my lips. He's an angry, hostile, dangerous, suicidal, depressed, sociopath. In short, he's absolutely normal.
Normal?
You bet your ass. In the circumstances, that's the only sane response possible.
That boy needs therapy.
You're psychosomatic.
That boy needs therapy.
Lying down on the couch.
What does that mean?
You're a nut. You're crazy in the coconut.
What does that mean?
That boy needs therapy.
I'm gonna kill you.
That boy needs therapy.
Pranigazoo, let's have a chew. How about I count three?
That boy needs therapy.
He was white as a sheep.
And he also made false teeth.
With accusations of insanity and robbery flying around, Officer Kincaid is intent on arresting someone. But who will it be?
Us.
That's right. Dick and Jane get fingered by the cops.
You look like criminals.
No.
What do you mean, no? You're frauds. Yes, frauds. With your artificial bleeding hearts. You think making the poor bark like seals for a couple of bonbons is anything but entertainment for the rich?
You're under arrest.
Are you crazy? They deserve the Nobel Peace Prize for maintaining the status quo. Face reality. Their so-called charity is social opium. It doesn't keep the poor from falling through the cracks. It keeps them from falling on us.
So who can I arrest?
Standard procedure. Find somebody who can't pay the rent. Evict them. Then when they're homeless, arrest them for loitering.
That's not fair.
To avoid having guilt, use society's dictum. When you see injustice, blame the victim!
Hold it. Let's get the story clear. I have a deadline. I gotta get out of here. 2 minutes ago, you said George was sane. So where does that leave Dick and Jane?
In the custody of the Marbles Rehab for the Ripped and Famous.
What?
Here's the committal papers, signed by my panel of psychiatric experts.
You can't do that.
I'm rich. I can do what I damn well please. George, the straitjackets, please.
No straitjackets.
Subdue those lunatics.
Help us. Hold it right there.
But officer.
Hands up. But we're innocent. That's what they all say.
It's a setup.
We've been framed.
Hallucinating paranoids. Dangerous crazies.
Yippee. So can I shoot? Huh? Can I?
Wow, do you ever have a calling?
I can't remember. Is George crazy too?
No, he's VP of Having with Heart. Correction, president. With these two locked up, he assumes full control of the company.
That's outrageous!
We'll sue.
Stuff a sock in it.
Wow!
Uncle George is president?
For a couple of weeks, my people plan to make him an offer he can't refuse. He'll be well taken care of, and Having with Heart will join the Marbles charity portfolio.
Fabulous! In less time than it takes you to do a makeover, your godfather staged a hostile takeover. This deal arranged with minimum fuss is a fait accompli. Is he the fait accomplus?
He's a goldmine. We're talking movie options, distribution deals, marketing spin-offs, Uncle George dolls.
Great news, huh? You gonna make nice?
You should maybe throw up.
Pardon?
He dazzles us with wealth picked from our own back pockets and awards heaped on him by governments he pays to elect. Well, enough's enough. We're taking our lives back. We're going to run our own organizations.
Bingo! Happy ending, fade to black. Ha! Huh? You think that'll solve things? Wake up! There will always be poverty.
Maybe. But being poor doesn't mean you can't have a say in your life. Doesn't mean you can't have a little equality and freedom. Katie, we want to help change the world? Spread the word. We demand to make the decisions that shape our future.
You give this guy play, I'll buy you for breakfast.
Sorry, Elgin, I don't scare. He's ratings. Bucks. You wouldn't dare.
Ratings? Bucks? For how long? A couple of weeks?
We're talking the homeless. Society's dregs. It's a happening deal, babe. An issue with legs.
Oh, get real. Issues are like relationships. Everyone wants to get involved, but they hate commitment.
Not me.
Tell me about it. People are starving. What do? You throw a rock concert and forget about it. Tragedy is entertainment.
You want to forget about us? Forget that. You step over us in the streets? Well, try stepping over us in your homes.
Ooh, a hobo army. I'm shaking in my boots.
Try shaking when we barricade your highways, railways, and railroads.
We own the army and the police.
You also own too many buildings, reactors, and generators, too. Too many miles of pipelines and tracks to guard them all. You can't forget us. We can make your life too expensive. So join the team. Don't use us. Work with us. Partners, not predators. Change is possible.
You wish.
Exactly. I didn't say it would be easy. I didn't say probably. I said possible.
With you in charge? You couldn't organize a Girl Guide cookie drive. You're an ignorant, irresponsible flake. A dreamer. You're naive.
You're a cynical prick. Despair is your best friend. You love it when we give up, because then you can run roughshod. Well, get this. Dreams happen.
I'm talking about the ignorant, disorganized flakes who dreamed up the Quiet Revolution, the Marche Mondiale des Femmes, the People's Summit, the Walk for Justice, and the Uprising at Oka. I'm talking about naive dreamers like Gerald Gaudin, Fred Rose, Alanis Abomsawin, Abdelkader Belouani, and the Algonquin of Barrier Lake. I'm talking about Tommy Douglas, Louis Riel, Joe Beef, and Agnes MacPhail. I'm talking about thousands of years of little people drowning in shit who stood up and roared, "Get your goddamn hands off our lives!" So wake up, Marbles. I'm not naive or stupid. I'm talking history. I'm talking today's headlines. Facts, not opinions. We don't have to sit on the sidelines and whine any more than those other raging collections of ineffectual, disorganized flakes who change the world. Hope is real. Dreams can happen. Am I right?
When the union's inspiration through the workers' blood shall run, there can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun. Yet what force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one? But the union makes us strong. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us strong. It
is we who gentle patrons. It's odd satirizing social elites for an audience sitting at home or in their comfy car seats. But our author, producer, cast and crew are all equally morally snookered, too. For one of our themes is folks down on their luck, without whom we'd not be here earning a buck. No one is pure. We've all got something to gain by speaking as experts on other folks' pain. Socialites primp doing volunteer charity, while bistro lefties talk solidarity. We grab their agenda and tell the poor to trust us. For if power's not held, controlled and directed by the people its touch leaves most clearly affected, then equal and free are words that ring hollow, hypocritical, empty, bitter to swallow. And that provokes violence, hardly a mystery. It's a price of injustice. We learn that from history. With that thought, dear friends, I really must go. I love to rant more, but our author says no. You've been lovely, delightful, a pleasure to know. So hoping you've had a good time at our show, we bid you a good day and hope that you remember that it's the rich who will pay.
We can bring to birth a new world from the ashes of the old, for the union makes us strong. Solidarity forever, solidarity forever, solidarity forever, for the union makes us strong.
This was the last episode of a special radio theater play based on the play by Alan Stratton entitled Bag Babies. This play was produced by a collective of members from CKUT Campus Community Radio in Montreal. You can find all of Bag Babies in the archives at CKUT.ca. The cast of Bag Babies was as follows. Courtney Kirkby as Jane. Roberto Nieto as Dick. Dave Jensen as Rick and Elgin. Britt Ray as Elaine, Alice, and Kincaid. Caitlin Priest as Katie Hughes. And Tim McSorley as George. And I'm your narrator, Alice Martin Elwood.
The end.